taken. June 9, 1935, Pentecost. As I was walking in the garden in the evening, I heard these words: "By your entreaties, you and your companions shall obtain mercy for yourselves and for the world." I understood that I would not remain in the congregation in which I am at the present time. I saw clearly that God's will regarding me was otherwise, but I kept making excuses before God, telling him that I was unable to carry out this task. "Jesus, you know very well what I am." And I started enumerating my weaknesses to the Lord, hiding behind them so that he would agree that I was unable to carry out his plans, Then I heard these words: "Do not fear. I myself will make up for everything that is lacking in you." But these words penetrated me to my depths and made me even more aware of my misery, and I understood that the word of the Lord is living and that it penetrates to the very depths. I understood that God demands more perfect way of life of me. However, I kept using my incompetence as an excuse. June 29, 1935, when I talked to my spiritual director, Father Sopoko, about various things that the Lord was asking of me, I thought he would tell me that I was incapable of accomplishing all those things, and that the Lord Jesus did not use miserable souls like me for the works he wanted done. But I heard these words to the effect that it was just such souls that God chooses most frequently to carry out his plans. This priest is surely guided by the Holy Spirit of God. He has penetrated the secrets of my soul, the deepest secret which were between me and God, about which I had not yet spoken up to him, because I had not understood them myself, and the Lord had not clearly ordered me to tell him. The secret is this: God demands that there be a congregation which will proclaim the mercy of God to the world, and by its prayers obtain it for the world. When a priest asked me if I had not had any such inspirations, I replied that I had not had any clear orders, but that instant a light penetrated my soul. I understood that the Lord was speaking through him. In vain had I defended myself by saying I had not received any clear orders, for at the end of our conversation, I saw the Lord Jesus on the threshold, as he is represented in an image, and he said to me, "I desire that there be such a congregation." Do you know the story of Faustina? Now, he died in the same congregation, no? But it seems he got an inspiration to start a new congregation. But in the end, she died in the same congregation as... I don't understand. Do you have any idea? No. You should go to some deeper understanding, no? This lasted only a moment, yet I did not tell him about it right away, as I was in a hurry to get back home, and I kept repeating to the Lord, "I am unable to carry out your plans, O Lord, to start a new congregation." So frightened to start a new congregation. For her, it seemed the will of Jesus that he should get out of the congregation, her own, and start a new one. But strangely enough, Jesus paid no attention to my appeals, but gave me to see and understand how pleasing this work was to him. He took no account of my weakness, but gave me to know how many difficulties I must overcome. And I, his poor creature, could say nothing, but I am incapable of it, O my God. June 30th, 1945. At the very beginning of the Holy Mass of the following day, I saw Jesus in awe and unspeakable beauty. He said to me that he decided such a congregation be founded as soon as possible, and you shall live in it together with your companions. My spirit shall be the rule of your life. Your life is to be modeled of mine. From the crypt of my depths, of thy death on the cross, penetrate my mysteries, and you will know the abyss of my mystery, of my mercy toward creatures, and my unfathomable goodness, and these you shall make known to the world. Through your prayers, you shall mediate between heaven and earth. Then came the moment to receive Holy Communion, and Jesus disappeared, and I saw a great brightness. Then I heard these words, "We give our blessing." And at the moment, a bright ray issued from that light and pierced my heart. An extraordinary fire was enkindled in my soul. I thought I would die of joy and happiness. I felt the separation of my spirit from my body. I felt totally immersed in God. I felt I was snatched up by the Almighty, like a particle of dust, into the unknown expanses. Trembling with joy in the embrace of the Creator, I felt He Himself was supporting me so that I could bear this great happiness and gaze at His Majesty. I know how now that if He Himself had not strengthened me by His grace, my soul would not have been able to bear the happiness and would have died in an instant. You know, even joy can you burst out, cannot stand the joy, same as pain, so painful. That's a different hell and heaven. Heaven is full of joy, brightness and joy, so bright. And hell is, they know that's the joy, but can never attain this joy. That's the hell. Yearning for, but never. But then in heaven is the one who inside the joy and overwhelming me. That's the difference. That's how we have to live on earth. The presence of the Lord. Keep unity with one another. Where two or three united in my name, I am in your midst. If we have Jesus on earth with us, this is paradise. Just like today, the gospel, the two disciples going to Emmaus, no? On the way, they were talking to Jesus, but didn't know the Jesus, no? And just talking about, what are you talking about? You don't know what, blah, blah, blah. And then, so you don't understand? And afterward, they find out, this, when on the way, our hearts, what you call, with joy and warm, and so much warm with the Lord. We thank Jesus. Thank Faustina, give her all the chances to stay with the Blessed Sacrament, and that's the light. We don't see, but is. Jesus is here. Our Heavenly Mother is here. You know that, no? Wherever there is a Blessed Sacrament, the Lex is forever. Our Heavenly Mother is. It's stand next, and also the Blessed Trinity, all the saints, your patron saints, all are here. It's heaven on earth. Holy Mass came to an end. I know not when, for it was beyond my power to pay attention to what was going on in the chapel. So much. Humanly speaking, she was distracted. Huh?
She didn't know what happened after all the mass. But anyway, Jesus now that they enjoy. But when I recovered my sense, I felt the strength and courage to go to do God's will. Nothing seemed difficult to me, and whereas I had previously been making excuses to the Lord, I now felt the Lord's courage and strength within me. And I said to the Lord, I am ready for every peck and call of your will. In theory, I had gone through everything that I was going to experience in the future. So we need this experience. Oh, my Creator and Lord, my entire being is yours. Dispose of me according to your divine pleasure and according to your eternal plans and your unfathomable mercy. May every soul know how good Lord is. May no soul fear to commune in intimacy with the Lord. May no soul use unworthiness as an excuse. And may it never postpone God's invitation, for that is not pleasing to the Lord. So beautiful, eh? He's writing all the instance. Trust. Don't be afraid. Even if you have a big sin, forgiven, but come close to Jesus. There's no so much wretch than I am, as I truly know myself, and I am astonished that divine majesty stooped so low. Come down, heaven, to our standard. O eternity, it seems to me that you are too short to extol the infinite mercy of the Lord. Once the image was being exhibited over the altar during Corpus Christi, Body of Christ feast, procession, June 20th, 1935. When the priest exposed the Blessed Sacrament and the choir began to sing, they raised from the image, peace, the sacred host, and spread out all over the world. Then I heard these words, these rays of mercy will pass through you, just as they have passed through this host, and they will go out throughout the world. Grace is through, means through person. So Jesus gave her, she's the secretary, you know, for divine mercy. All this night, through her teaching, through her presence in the world. Once, when my confessor, Father Sopoku, was saying Mass, I saw, as usual, child Jesus on the altar from the time of the offertory. However, a moment before the elevation, the priest vanished from the sight, and Jesus alone remained. When the moment of the elevation approached, Jesus took the host and the chalice in his little hands and raised them together. Looking up to heaven, and a moment later, I saw my confessor. I asked the Christ Jesus where the priest had been during the time I had not seen him. Jesus answered, in my heart. It's beautiful. Huh? Disappeared, the priest disappeared. And baby Jesus there, a child Jesus, no, not baby, a child Jesus. He is as a priest, holding the host and the chalice. You can imagine how the other sister seeing Faustina. If Faustina revealed this to the other sister, oh, come on, sister. You're thinking otherwise. You are not of this world. You know, I think all this diary is only after her death is coming out. You know, nobody believes. Even at the death, that's why one of the film, you know, about the life of Jesus Faustina, one of the very beginning is one of the sister interview of an old sister. The old sister a little bit feel ashamed. I'm sorry, we just don't treat her properly. You know, whenever they see her, my goodness, dreaming. Just like in the Old Testament, Joseph, you remember? The one who went to Egypt? You know, he always had his dream He's dreaming that his brothers all in towards him. My goodness. He's the youngest one, and all the brothers are coming towards him and all adoring him. My goodness. Come on, this dreamer. When he destroy him, kill him. Fortunately, I think it's one of the brothers, no? Sort of Benjamin, that, okay, just put him in the in a well, and then told to our brother, his father, and then he died. And they sold him to Egypt. This is how Jesus said, in my heart. But I could not understand anything more of these words of Jesus. So wonderful. Not seeing nobody. On one occasion, I heard these words. I decide that you live according to my will in the most secretive steps of my soul. I reflected on these words, which spoke very much to my heart. This was on the day of confessions for the community. When I went to confession and I had accused myself of many sins, the priest, Father Sopoko, repeated to me the same words that the Lord had previously spoken. The priest spoke these profound words to me. There are 3 degrees in the accomplishments of God's will. In the first, the soul carries out all rules and statutes pertaining to external observance. In the second degree, the soul accepts interior inspirations and carries them out faithfully. In the third degree, the soul, abandoned to the will of God, allows him to dispose of it freely. And God does with it as he pleases. And it is a docile toll in his hands. 3 degrees. First, you observe the rules. Second, you carry out interior inspiration. Third, abandon to the will of God everything. This is the degree of virtue. Many times we are so stick to our old thinking as if it's our, nobody can touch. No, first degree observe external observance, second degree interior inspiration. Once you feel, do it. Not because I planned this way, and no way of changing, you miss the grace. The third, everything in your hand, I commend my spirit, his will. And the priest said that I was at the second degree in accomplishment of God's will, and that I had not yet reached the third degree, but that I should strive to attain it. These words pierced my soul. I see clearly that God often gives the priest knowledge of what is going on in the depths of my soul. This does not surprise me at all. Indeed, I thank God that he has such chosen persons. So very important to check. Many times we say we have so many inspirations. You have to check with the spiritual director. Otherwise, you thought, I got the inspiration. This is true. Sometimes the devil can penetrate you in your soul as if the sweetness of God and speak to you some messages, but you are not open, you are not humble enough many times. Maybe in the beginning you got some inspiration. I know somebody, even not outside Hong Kong. Yeah, no, I think in the beginning they have kind of inspiration, God. But at the end, they so stick to their own so-called inspiration and never seek advice from the priest. Or you always say, you should do this and you should do that without, humility is one of the elements. When you have the inspiration, humility, so many times, Sister Faustina is always ready to lose. If the spiritual director says no, never. No. Thursday, nocturnal adoration. You know, they used to also do the night adoration. Do you do this? Some of you still for night here? Nobody? Never try once a month. Say 2 hours, you can sleep upstairs. Can you? No. I'm not forcing you because I didn't myself. I should myself. I'm living here. I should come down 2 until 4. I'm not sure whether I can get up at 6. Thursday, nocturnal adoration. When I came for adoration, an inner recollection took hold of me immediately, and I saw the Lord Jesus tied to a pillar, stripped of his clothes, and the scourging began immediately. I saw 4 men who took turns at striking the Lord with scourges. My heart almost stopped at the sight of these tortures. The Lord said to me, "I suffer even greater pain than that which you see." Can you imagine? Just to let her see something. And Jesus gave me to know for what sins he subjected himself to the scourging. These are sins of impurity of human being. He suffered scourges. Oh, how dreadful was Jesus' moral suffering during his scourging. It's not only physical, also moral, spiritual suffering of Jesus, that human being doesn't keep chastity. Then Jesus said to me, "Look and see the human race in its present condition." In an instant, I saw horrible things. The executioners left Jesus, and other people started scourging him. They seized the scourges and struck the Lord mercilessly. These were priests, religious men and women, and high dignitaries of the church. Would surprise me greatly. So she was thinking only the sinners is striking Jesus, but the second group is the priest, the religious, high dignitaries of the church, cardinals. That's what the word is, no? They were named people of all ages and walks of life, included all of us. All vented the malice on the innocent Jesus. Seeing this, my heart fell as if into a mortal agony. And while the executioners had been scourging him, Jesus had been silent and looking into the distance. But when those other souls I mentioned scourged him, Jesus closed his eyes. And a soft but most painful moan escaped from his heart. And Jesus gave me to know in detail the gravity of the malice of these ungrateful souls. You see, this is a torture greater than my death. So when a religious person, a priest, doing against God's will, whatever, Jesus suffered more than by greatest sinners. Then my lips too felt silent, and I began to experience the agony of death, and I felt that no one would comfort me or snatch me from the States, but one who had put me into it. Then the Lord said to me, I see the sincere pain of your heart, which brought great solace to my heart. See and take comfort. That's why the way of the cross, when we meditate on the sorrowful mystery, into the scene and be one with the Lord, it's consoling for Jesus, no? When you feel the pain, feel so much sorry for this, at least you yourself keep a clean knife, it is a consolation for the Lord. Not just the other people do, you do more or less, or you do less, and you are better than the others. This is not the way. This wants his heart to be close to your heart. Then I saw the Lord Jesus nailed to the cross. When he had hung on it for a while, I saw a multitude of souls crucified like him. Then I saw a second multitude of souls and a third. The second multitude were not nailed to the crosses, but were holding them firmly in their hands. The third were neither nailed to crosses nor holding them firmly in their hands, but were dragging crosses behind them and were discontent. Jesus said to me, do you see these souls? Those who are like me in the pain and contempt they suffer will be like me also in agony. And those who resemble me less in pain and contempt will also bear less resemblance to me in all glory. So the more we share the pain of Jesus, greater glory in the Lord. But you just, you know, take your cross at the back and tracking, you know, you don't touch too much. You carry your cross, but lightly, not wholeheartedly, then less glory in heaven. Among the crucified souls, the most numerous were those of the clergy. I also saw some crucified souls whom I knew, and this gave me great joy. Then Jesus said to me, in your meditation tomorrow, you shall think about what you have seen today. Immediately, Jesus disappeared on me. Friday, I was ill and could not attend Holy Mass. At 7 o'clock in the morning, I saw my confessor celebrating Holy Mass, during which I saw the child Jesus. Toward the end of the Mass, the vision disappeared, and I found myself back in myself as before. Indescribable joy took hold of me because, although I could not go to Mass in our own chapel, I had assisted at it in the church, which was far distant. Jesus has a remedy for everything. Although she cannot go down for Mass in the chapel, it's up by location. He attended Mass with the spiritual director, and then she saw Jesus, and then come back. It happened, no? That the priest, what you call the Franciscan,
Saint Pio.
Saint Pio, yeah. Many times he appeared to many places. In one instance, when he was saying Mass and he was giving communion to a sick person in another house, and they saw him. They said, why, you're here, somebody. No, he was in St. Mass. No, I saw him, just he came to me. You know, this by location, it happened to some saints. Father Pio, he got sick by the holy priest. Okay, next time, because it's on it should be July 30th, 1935, Feast of St. Ignatius. See what happened.